Around a year and a half ago, I had a great idea. I wanted to build pillow forts with my friends, so I invited them over. The plan was to build pillow forts in separate rooms and make them kind of rivaling kingdoms. By doing this, I wanted to create lore and create characters and accents and get way, way into it, and my friends responded to me with a big fat no. They told me that pillow forts were pointless, they told me that pillow forts were childish, and they told me that pillow forts were girl repellent. And as I sat there looking at my phone, pondering what they said, I thought for a second, thinking that maybe they were right, and I was experiencing a sort of mini existential crisis. But it only took me another second to realize that no, they were dead wrong. They were wrong about everything. Pillow forts are not pointless. They may be childish, but they're not pointless. In fact, I'd argue that we should strive to build things like pillow forts as we get older to hold on to our imagination. So after talking to them, I created a manifesto. First, I want to try as hard as I can to hold on to my imagination as I get older. I'm an 18-year-old senior in high school, and I've seen some of my peers kind of lose a spark as they transition to adulthood. And this is terrifying to me. I don't want to get older and live a mundane life that I'm unsatisfied with because I lack creativity and imagination. The second part of the manifesto was to stay as far away from people who don't like pillow forts as possible. Because if you don't like building pillow forts, you're probably the same kind of person that likes doing your taxes. You're boring. So I began a quest to hold on to my imagination actively. And I found a solace, and that was in art. Art is beautiful because it truly allows humans to act like kids, even if they're adults. For example, take the existence of literature. Literature, at its very core, is an adult writing his imagination on a piece of paper and then sending it off to other adults to read and try to become a part of. This is a lot like how children interact. And it's something great and something that I want to participate in as I grow older. But I'd argue that literature isn't the art form that you want to participate in if you truly want to be imaginative. I'd argue that that art form is pillow forts. And yes, at the risk of sounding pretentious, I'm going to claim that pillow forts are art, at least how far I take them. Art is defined as the expression of human imagination. And when I build pillow forts, I truly do that. I do accents, I make up stories, and I share them with my friends. For example, last year, after the first group of friends rejected me, I asked another group of friends, my friends Evan and Grant, to come over to build with me. And as we were building, and then in the middle of the night, when we're sitting around an imaginary campfire, telling imaginary stories of our imaginary lives, I truly realize that this isn't that different from literature, except it's more collaborative. And this collaborative experience is something that I want to strive to experience more often. But I can't build pillow forts all the time, because my mother would hate me. Because pillow forts dirty up the house, and they can get weirdly expensive when you have to clean the sheets all the time. So I found the feeling again one day, not in pillow forts, but on the internet. I was browsing the music section of the internet forum 4chan, as I usually do in my free time. And while on there, I found a strange image. The image was of one of the lead singers of my favorite rap group, Death Grips. And it was a strange image. It was kind of fuzzy and glitched out, and I'd never seen it before. And being a huge fanboy of Death Grips, I've typically seen everything that they've ever posted. The post came accompanied with a link to the deep web. And for those of you who don't know, the deep web is kind of a sketchy area on the internet where a lot of crazy, crazy things could happen. So when the users saw this, they were kind of hesitant to open it. But after doing it, they were glad they did. What they found was a link to a zip file. And the zip file was password protected. So the users, dumbfounded, tried to look for clues. One user had the great idea to take the image and put it into Photoshop and change the colors a bit. And when they did that, they found a code hidden in the image. The code, when decoded, was the password for the zip file. And upon opening the zip file, the users found a treasure trove of weird stuff. They found images and text files and audio files and more zip files. And everything in the zip file told this kind of fractured story about hackers doing this really big revolution thing over the deep web and preparing it. And knowing what the deep web is, this is something that's kind of plausible and something that you can kind of believe. So the users kept on playing the game. More zip files were posted as the days went on, and the users had to navigate through the other zip files to find clues. They found clues in long alphanumeric strings of code. They found clues hidden as images inside of audio files. You can do that. And some of the clues even bled into reality, and this is where the game got truly cool. The users found a date, a time, and a location posted for a sketchy area in New York City. The time was 12 a.m., and the day was on Wednesday. So the users talked, and they banded together to go to the payphone. Upon getting there, they got yelled at by a homeless man, and they explored an abandoned warehouse. And if you've ever listened to Death Grips, you know this is exactly the kind of aesthetic that the band goes for. And at 12 a.m., a payphone rang, and they answered the payphone. And the voice on the other end of the payphone set out a code. And the code was actually used to unlock the last zip file, which unveiled an instrumental version of the band's previous album, The Money Store. This whole thing made me excited. It was really, really insane. I actually truly believe that there were hackers revolutionizing the world over the deep web, and I told everyone about it. I told people who I know don't care, like my friends, and I told people who really, really don't care, like my mother. Because Death Grips is an experimental noise rap group, and experimental noise rap is whatever the opposite of what my mom listens to. So after experiencing this, I was confused and intrigued, and I wanted to know more about what it was, so I asked the users on the forum. They told me that what I experienced was something called an ARG, or alternate reality game. An alternate reality game is defined as an interactive narrative set on an internet forum that takes place in a fictitious version of reality where players must cooperate and work together to solve puzzles and reach a specific goal. I thought this was really cool, but I thought it was kind of foreign to me. So, and if it's foreign to you, I don't blame you. But I'd like to ground it like this. ARGs are the pillow forts of the internet. And let me explain. ARGs and pillow forts both have something called a puppet master. The puppet master is the guy who guides the ARG, or the pillow fort, and just tells the story and gives out clues and generally makes it work. Pillow forts are a little bit different. Everybody's a puppet master, but that's where the differences stop. The next major part of ARGs are that this is not a game philosophy. The this is not a game philosophy is where they become truly cool. It's the willingness for the players to accept that what is happening is not a game, and that is actually happening in real life. For example, in the Death Grips ARG, I truly convinced myself that there was a revolution happening, and it blew my mind and became truly immersive. Pillow forts are similar. When I build them, I refuse to accept that what is happening is a game. For example, one time I was building a fort, and my friend Billy had to go to the bathroom, but he didn't know the magic password. So like any reasonable person would do, I didn't let him in. And he explained to me, "Hey man, I know we don't like breaking character, I never do, you know that, but I've been having bladder issues lately, and I have to go right now." To which I responded in my pillowfort knees accent, if you don't know the password, you can't go to the bathroom. And I still get a lot of crap for that today, but. So after experiencing the ARG, I decided I wanted to make one of my own. So I contacted my two friends, Evan and Grant, who I built the pillow fort with, figuring that they'd be perfect for the job. They've also helped me a lot with the TED Talk. And I talked to them, and we decided we wanted to create an ARG that was similar to a pillow fort in structure. We wanted to make something that was collaborative and that everyone could participate in. And we wanted to set it with a group of friends. So we set it on Facebook. I started the ARG by making a character named Eli Harmon. Using Eli Harmon's Facebook profile, I contacted other members of the group, and I sent them messages, and I talked to them, and I kind of befriended them. And then I killed them off. In a post that I made, I claimed that I walked into a murder scene, and I saw his body, and there was evidence that two of the members of the group had murdered him. I then contacted two random members of the group, and I told them that they were the murderers. And this is the only time I ever broke character during the game. I told them that they killed Eli Harmon, and that it was their job to prove their innocence in polls throughout the game, and that if they finished the game without getting executed, they would win a prize. There was no prize, but we played anyway. So I set up these polls, and I'd post a clue, and everyone would vote on who they thought the murderers were. And it started out kind of slow. The first person to die was my friend Griffin. He got executed because he had no proper alibi. And then several more rounds passed, and things became interesting as people stopped wanting to die, and people started realizing that they could influence the effects of the game. This started when my friend Joe edited a Facebook chat to make it look like my friend Enrique confessed guilt. Of course everybody voted to execute Enrique, even though it was fake. Enrique, after dying, was so mad about this, he actually messaged me on Facebook, explaining that the game was incredibly unbalanced, dumb, and that we can't do it anymore. But I wasn't glad to hear that my game was unbalanced, but I was incredibly glad to know that it was so much fun that he was mad about it. So when players started realizing that they could actually affect the game, they started creating content. And they started creating more content than I would do. I would just post really stupid clues with jokes in them. And then they would make videos and webcomics. And one member even made a video game detailing events that happened. And it kind of created this political hierarchy that affected a lot of the game. And it was a really, really fun time. And like all ARGs, I wanted to bleed into reality. So I invited my friends over to my house at the end of the game to come to a seance dinner party. I contacted the two remaining survivors and told them that we were going to contact the ghosts to get closure. I then contacted the 10 other people in the group and told them to come dressed as ghosts. The night was weird. All right. You may notice that ARGs strike a lot of immersion from the player and participation. And this is something that's really cool about them. They've been used as marketing extensively. The film Cloverfield and the video game Halo 2 have used them in great ways, and I highly recommend looking those up in your free time. But ARGs have also been used in more useful places, like education. It's perfect for education, because education, when immersive, is truly, truly great. I tutor statistics at my university as a part-time job. And at every tutor training, we're taught to teach the student how to teach themselves. And this aligns perfectly with the fundamentals of ARGs. They're very self-involved, and you work very hard the entire time to learn and experience the world that you're in. So we tried that tonight. We made an ARG ourselves. Actually, I'm not going to admit that it's an ARG. I would never do that. But hypothetically, we made an ARG ourselves. You may have experienced what it was like yourself. And hopefully, it helped immerse you and helped you learn about it in the similar way to ARGs. And if you take away anything from this talk, I hope it's the idea that even as we get older and we can become more cynical and jaded and farther away from our childhood selves, I still believe that using resources and collaborating with each other, that we can truly become like children again and experience the same childhood sense of wonder that we experienced as kids. Thank you.